Elliot Odell here. I want to share with you the five principles which provoke God's blessing. Now, before I begin, I want to share with you a story. There was once a very poor woman. She was of considerable age, and she lived in a very small house, and she wasn't in the best of health. A doctor went to go and check up on her, and after he finished seeing if she was okay, he looked up and noticed on her wall was a document, and he asked her, "What's this?" She replied, "Oh, it's a gift from the Queen. I served her many years, and she presented me with it on the day of my retirement." So the doctor said, "Oh, I see. Can I take a look?" "Sure," she said. And he paused for a moment while he browsed over it. And in shock, he looked at the woman and said, "What are you doing living like this?" "This document is a certificate which guarantees your living courtesy of the government as demanded by the Queen." She didn't know it. She couldn't read. So she asked the doctor if he would help her get what she was entitled to, and he did, and she lived the rest of her days funded by the government as requested of the Queen. Now, this woman couldn't benefit from what was made available to her because she couldn't read. Now, I'm pretty sure there are many believers who can read, but they don't. And they are in the exact same predicament as the poor lady was because they have not made a demand on what they are entitled to. And the reason they haven't made any demands is because they don't know what they are entitled to, much like the woman who couldn't read what the Queen made available to her. Now, the King of the entire universe has given you a document. It's called the Bible. It's full of the blessings and benefits that you can enjoy as his child. Now, if you don't read the document or hear from somebody who has, how can you benefit from what he has made available to you? It is up to you to take the responsibility to find out what is written in there. Now, like many, you may know some of the things you are entitled to, but you can't figure out how you can get access to them. So you may have questions such as, if all the blessings and supernatural empowerments of God are available to every Christian that walks this earth, then why don't they have them? How can I get them working and operating in my life? The blessings and supernatural empowerment of God are there. You know that much. Here's what most don't know. The blessings and supernatural empowerment of God are not automatic. They must be provoked to work. They are only activated by unwavering faith and consistent obedience. Just because you are a child of God, it doesn't mean that the blessings are automatic. It just means that they are automatically available to you. But if you want them to be activated, they can only be activated by your faith and your obedience. Okay, so now that we've laid that foundation, I'm going to share with you the five principles which force God's blessing into operation with maximum effectiveness. Number one, study God's words. Why? Because there are blessings available as a reward for your obedience. Your job is to study, to discover what exactly you need to be obedient to in order to benefit from the blessings. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Joshua 1:8 says, meditate day and night, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Here is what the spirit of wisdom has to say. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. Counsel is mine, and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches, and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, and long life, and peace they shall add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Always make it your objective to act on what you know. Otherwise, your knowledge and wisdom without application is as much good as having no wisdom or knowledge at all. Number two. Trust and obedience. Trusting faith will cause you to obey willingly even when things don't seem favorable, but things will work out. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. What you need to do in order for the blessings caused by the blessing to be activated is Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 2, and verses 13 and 14. It says, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods, to serve them. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. It's in your best interest to follow what God tells you to do, because God must have your willing obedience in order for him to honor his word to you. Look what happened to Abraham. God spoke instructions. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing whither he went. And as a result of his obedience, Abraham was blessed. He is become great, and he hath given him flocks, and herds, and silver, and gold, and men servants, and maid servants, and camels, and asses. Now, why was he blessed like that? Well, God tells us in Genesis chapter 26, verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Abraham didn't earn his blessing. Yes, he worked like everybody else, but he did not work for the blessing. The blessing was given by grace, and he received it through accepting God's call by his willing obedience. And because of his obedience, the blessing worked for him. And you cannot work for the blessing. You can only receive it by faith. You activate every promise by faith. But just remember, faith without works is dead. Now let's look at another example. God spoke instructions to Isaac. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. Now Isaac obeyed and got blessed. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him, and the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. Jacob trusted God. Laban, if you remember the story, was trying to keep Jacob captive. But because of his obedience to God's leading, the blessing found a way out of no way. It maketh rich, but only when Jacob stepped out in faith. Let's read the story Jacob had. Jacob was being cheated by Laban, and he had had enough. He wanted out. He said, give me my wives and my children for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, which means to stay there for a while. For I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, appoint me thy wages and I will give it. Now Jacob's talking and he says, Thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord hath blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for mine own house also? And Laban said, What shall I give thee? And Jacob said, Thou shalt not give me anything. If thou wilt, do this thing for me. I will again feed and keep thy flock. I will pass through all thy flock today, removing from thence all the speckled and spotted cattle and all the brown cattle among the sheep, and the spotted and the speckled among the goats, and of such shall be my hire. These were to be Jacob's wages. Jacob knew that the blessing would produce, and he knew God would see to it that Jacob came out on top. So shall my righteousness answer for me in time to come, when it shall come for my hire before thy face. Every one that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the sheep, that shall be counted stolen with me. And Laban said, Behold, I would it might be according to thy word. So Laban and Jacob now had an agreement. Now watch this. Jacob gets blessed. And he removed that day the he-goats that were ring-straked and spotted, and all the she-goats that were speckled and spotted, and every one that had some white in it, and all the brown among the sheep, and gave them into the hands of his sons. And he set 3 days' journey betwixt himself and Jacob, and Jacob fed the rest of Laban's flocks. And Jacob took him rods of green poplar, and of the hazel and chestnut tree, and piled white streaks in them, and made the white appear which was in the rods. And he set the rods which he had piled before the flocks in the gutters, in the watering troughs where the flocks came to drink, that they should conceive when they came to drink. And the flocks conceived before the rods, and brought forth cattle ring-straked, speckled, and spotted. Jacob's righteousness had answered for him as he said. And Jacob did separate the lambs, and set the faces of the flocks toward the ring-straked, and all the brown in the flock of Laban. And he put his own flocks by themselves, and put them not unto Laban's cattle. And it came to pass, whensoever the cattle did conceive, that Jacob laid the rods before the eyes of the cattle in the gutters, that they might conceive among the rods. But when the cattle were feeble, he put them not in. So the feebler were Laban's, and the stronger Jacob's. And the man Jacob increased exceedingly, and had much cattle, and maidservants, and menservants, and camels, and asses. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. Proverbs chapter 3 verses 5 to 6 says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God was saying to Abraham what Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 16:24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. He appealed to the rich young ruler to follow him, not to take a vow to poverty, as some people have been misled to believe. That can't be true, because 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 says, For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. the young ruler trusted in his wealth. That's what Jesus had a problem with. Not the fact that he had wealth, but the fact that the wealth had him. Jesus wanted to free the rich young ruler from this bondage of having unrighteous mammon being his master to having God as his master. Jesus had something better in mind. The rich young ruler would have ended up with 100 times what he had before in this life. But he left before he got to hear that part. Look what Jesus said. Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. According to this, if the rich young ruler had done as Jesus said, he would have had 100 times what he had before, and that would have happened now in this time. In this time. Now, we know he would have received it in this lifetime, one, because Jesus said it, two, because Jesus said, with persecutions. You and I both know the afflictions of the righteous are many in this earth. There won't be persecution in heaven, no sorrow or anything of that nature. So it's 100-fold in this life. 3, Jesus went on to say, and in the world to come, eternal life. So there are clearly 2 different things at 2 different times, which will happen as a result of trusting God and following him. 100-fold in this time and eternal life in the world to come. Simple, isn't it? If the rich young ruler willingly obeyed cheerfully like Abraham did, he would have been blessed for his obedience and he could have been a blessing. God said, I will bless thee and make thy name great and thou shalt be a blessing. I like the way the Amplified Bible puts it, and I will make of you a great nation and will bless you with abundant increase of favors and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. Galatians 3:9 says, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. We were blessed with Abraham when God said to him, I will bless you. As he was blessed, we are blessed because we were blessed with him. Now, Jesus asked the rich young ruler to give all he had unto the poor to show his commitment to following him and destroy his trust in money. Look what would have happened if he obeyed willingly and cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7-11 says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. If the rich young ruler obeyed, he would have received 100 times as much as he left behind. He would have had food to eat. All grace would have abounded towards him. He would have had all sufficiency in all things at all times. He would have had enough to be a blessing to every good work. The fruits of his righteousness would have continuously increased. All he had to do was put his trust in God instead of the deceitfulness of riches. Jesus wanted him to trust and rely on God completely. This is why Jesus said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? You know, it's interesting to me that in the next verse, it said that the disciples were astonished out of measure at Jesus saying this. I mean, why would they be astonished? It seemed like Jesus was saying, anybody that has any money at all will find it hard entering the kingdom of heaven. Not necessarily having a lot of money, just the mere possession of any money. Jesus said, they that have riches. He didn't make this exclusive to those who have a large quantity of riches, but they that have riches. If you have 2 pennies, you have possession of riches. It might not be much, but you still possess some quantity of riches. So it's of no shock to me that the disciples were astonished when Jesus said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Most everybody has riches. In that case, who then can be saved? And that is exactly what the disciples said in astonishment. So Jesus cleared this up for us. Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Now I'm sure that was a relief for the disciples. I can just see them saying, phew, wiping the sweat off their brows. 1 Timothy 6 verses 17 to 19 says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold onto eternal life. Jesus never said rich men can't enter the kingdom of God. Just those who trust in their riches and not God. Rich or poor, you can have trust in riches. And Jesus was saying, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man who trusts in his riches and not in God to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus is right. Abraham, Job, Isaac, Jacob, King David, Solomon, just to name a few, were rich. Is it hard for them to enter heaven? Only if they trust in their riches and not God. God wants you to trust him. So he calls you out of where you are, saying, trust me. He's not doing this to make you poor. He doesn't want to make you poor. Jesus said, I am come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus became poor that you through his poverty might be rich. He will bless you and make you a blessing. But first, your job is to come out of your dependence on yourself, trying to be wise in your own understanding, and follow God and obey willingly. God's job is to honor his own word, to bless you and supply all your needs. Now, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. If he said something, he's going to do it. If he's spoken something, he will make it good. Jeremiah said, then the Lord said unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Then your responsibility is to be a blessing. Number 3, acknowledge God. Acknowledge God, the one who gave you the capability to do what men praise you for. Give him all the credit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Before Joseph interpreted dreams, he made sure that people knew it was God. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, It is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Abraham wouldn't have any man take credit for making him rich. And Abraham said unto the king of Sodom, I have lift up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abraham rich. The blessing of God attracts people. People saw the blessing Joseph had. Everything he touched prospered. But Joseph was adamant about giving all credit to God. Now God admitted in Exodus chapter 20 verse 5, For I, the Lord, am a jealous God. God is the one who causes what we do to prosper, and he wants acknowledgement. Nobody likes it when somebody else takes credit for what they have done. God has blessed you through trying times. In times of calamity, you have peace that the world can't understand. People have been terminally ill and God healed them. People have had addictions and troubles God has delivered them from. When people were against you, odds were against you to stop you progressing, God prospered you better than you would have if they never interfered in the first place. Whenever you go through something, you always come out with a glowing testimony, having experienced God's goodness intervene on your behalf. People marvel at what God makes happen for you and want the same for themselves. And when you say God did it and lead them to him, he is pleased. He lets us go through hardship so we can have a testimony to shout about to the world. He blesses you so people will come to him, and he is magnified. This is why God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, Let the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. When you take credit for what God has done for you, you take God's glory from him. Abraham understood this. He wouldn't even take a shoelace from somebody because he didn't want somebody to take credit for God's making him rich. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee the power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Here God was talking to people who had prospered. People should see the results of the blessing on you. They should be able to see how good God is and say to you, I want that. They will feel compelled to ask you, What do I have to do to have what you have? And you just lead them to Christ so they can have access to his blessings. And then people will see it on them and they can lead them to Christ. It's the perfect plan. God knows how to attract people. If people want the blessing, they must belong to Christ. That's the catch. And I hasten to add, it's not a bad catch either. But that's how God attracts people to him. He produces tangible benefits for those living in him. So the world will want him and his goodness. I want peace like you have. Forgiveness like you have. Joy like you have. I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. Show them God's goodness. That's why the rich young ruler came to Jesus. He saw all he had and wanted a part of the eternal, abundant life. But he wouldn't pay the price to leave all and follow him. And once you surrender, you don't have to work for his blessing. It has already been worked for. When Christ was on the cross and said, It is finished, he hung on the cross so the blessing could come on you. What blessing? The blessing of Abraham, which came from the Lord. And the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and adds no sorrow with it. When a woman was afflicted with infirmity, Jesus called her a daughter and said, Ought not this woman be loosed from her infirmity? Now you are no less of a daughter or son than she was. if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and you are entitled to God's blessing, and you receive it by faith and obedience. Number four, honesty and integrity. Let's see from Scripture the benefits of walking in integrity and being honest. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore I shall not slide. I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of the transgressors shall destroy them. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Joseph was honest when in charge of Potiphar's household. He could have taken for himself of Potiphar's wealth, and nobody would have noticed. And he, Potiphar, who was Joseph's master, left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Joseph left Potiphar's life alone when he could have had his way with her. Joseph reserved his integrity and loyalty for God. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this wickedness and sin against God?" Notice, Joseph's main concern wasn't getting caught, but dishonoring God. Isaiah chapter 33 verses 15 to 16 says, "He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressors, that shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munition of rocks. Bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure." Now look what happened for Joseph. We know that he ended up in prison because of this, but he kept his integrity. And Pharaoh said to him, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, "Bow the knee," and he made him ruler of all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in the land of Egypt." Joseph ended up above Potiphar, who was his former master. Number five, tithe. Honor thy Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be enough room to receive it. Tithing connects you with blessing. Abraham paid tithe, and Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all. Jacob paid tithe. He said, of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Tithe belongs to God. You can't give tithe. You pay it. Tithing is not giving. You owe tithe. You can't give something which you already owe someone. You can only return it to them. The tithe is something you owe. If you don't believe me, see what God himself said. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And God says, in tithes and offerings. So it is clear that God owns tithe. A tenth of all your income is his. You're not giving it to him, you owe it. And when you pay it, you get blessing and protection. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. By the way, when God talked about a blessing that you won't have room enough to receive it, we look at things as the blessings, but things are the byproducts of the blessing and not the blessing itself. God was talking about an empowerment to prosper. The blessing can produce abilities, talents, ideas, relationships, and opportunities, empowering you to prosper. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. For example, whenever God gives me ideas about writing something or preparing a message, I never lack for words. As I write, he keeps pouring more and more revelation into my spirit. I can't write it down fast enough. I don't have room enough to receive it. I've got to the point where I have to keep a notepad with me at all times, because he unexpectedly keeps dropping revelation after revelation. And for some reason, he does it a lot when my hands are wet and I have to dry my hands to write it down. And I need to talk to him about that. Anyway, if you use the five principles we discussed with consistent, willing obedience and unwavering faith, it is inevitable you will see the blessing produce fruit in your life. There is no way you will be denied. Now, I have a warning, very important. These five principles would be incomplete if I failed to make mention that being consistently obedient with unwavering faith to these principles alone will not bring the best results possible. If you want to maximize your success, listen to the following very carefully. Just because you perform the mechanical action of obedience, it doesn't mean you will get results. One of the single most important things to God is motive. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verses 1 and 3 says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Therefore, love must be the motive behind everything you do. For example, look what God wants our attitude to be like when giving. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Your obedience needs to be with a willing, loving heart. The Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. The primary reason for your obedience must be in honor to God, not just for the benefit. Your obedience needs to be willing obedience. Now, willing obedience means you'd be willing even if there wasn't a blessing attached to it. You just want to obey to just honor God for honoring God's sake. Your obedience needs to be willing obedience. Willing, loving obedience. Remember, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. This is exactly why we see people doing all the right things and we wonder, why don't they see results? It's because we are looking at their actions. God is looking at their heart. And motive for those actions. When your obedience to God's commandments are consistent, genuine, in loving honor, and in willingness with unwavering faith, you will see the promise of your obedience fulfilled inevitably. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. The bottom line is quite simply this. If you are willing to do what Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph did, then God's blessing will do the same for you as it did them. Amen. Now, I pray you really enjoyed this presentation. Please use what you learn. You will only ever receive the benefits of God's principles by applying them. So I'm pleading with you, take time out to pray and ask God to show you what you can begin doing so that you are a doer of the word. Stay consistent with it. Trust God will honor every one of his promises when you are doing your part. Amen. Now, once you have Faith Boosters, you will be able to download the audio version of this presentation along with the transcripts which contain all the scriptures I used. And it saves you from having to keep coming back to this page to hear this message. All right, we're at the end here. Now I want you to speak to your Father in heaven and ask him to show you how to apply what you have learned. This is Elliot Odle. Bye-bye.